And welcome. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. As I take a deep breath to get started here on this Saturday afternoon, a week away from the Conscious Life Expo 2012 at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles. I will be there on Sunday. I'm looking forward to listening to what Greg Braden has to say. He was on our program a few weeks back. And we'll also be meeting other folks as well and hearing from one of our one of the other participants later on in the program, as well as listening to what Beth McDonald has to share with us, our astronomical and astrological assignment editor. The old way was easier to say, but this is much more fun just the same. We want to remind you that we're here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com. And we also rebroadcast this program Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific time at a2zen.com. That's the letter A, number 2, Z-E-N.fm. I know what I said before, but it's a2zen.fm. So we encourage you to, if you miss the live broadcast and you don't want to download it or whatever, you can always go there and also check out some of their other programs as well. Again, a2zen.fm. Well, here we are, the first, it's the first Saturday in February. Amazingly enough, it is the 4th of February, 2012. We're hurtling towards December, folks. No fear, there's nothing there except you when you get there. So just take that into consideration and just be mindful that this is all about you and me. We as individuals and what we choose to make of December 21st, 2012, if you choose to focus on that. I will put it in the same category in big bold letters as Y2K. And if you remember what happened with Y2K, nothing. So keep that in mind, that it's all up to you and what you make of what's happening in the world right now and into the future. Saw an interesting documentary that I'm going to start out talking about with our guest today. It's called The Human Experience. Two brothers created this documentary where they wanted to find out what people felt was the ultimate human experience and how they transcended the suffering in their lives. So they lived on the streets of New York City for 5 or 10 days with the homeless. And no, they didn't go back to their homes. And when it got tough, they toughed it out. And then they traveled to Peru, where a doctor was taking care of sick and injured people who don't have the facilities to care for themselves. And then they went on to Africa, two different places, one where they met with and talked with several people who were dying of AIDS, HIV and AIDS. And then they went to a leper colony. A very interesting documentary if you choose to pick it up. We watched it on Netflix. I kind of like that service. It's actually opened our eyes to a lot of very interesting concepts. And we're also looking at a couple of others in terms of having their producers on the program to talk about their different concepts. So we encourage you to, I don't know, documentaries just seem to me to be much more informative as well as entertaining than the contrived scripted types of things. It's really fascinating. Well, today can be described as fascinating. My guest is Dani Antman. She is an interfaith minister. Is that correct? And yes. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Richard.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And of course, we were chatting just before the program about this documentary, which isn't necessarily the focus of our program. We're going to talk today about the Tree of Life. I want to get into that, but we had kind of jumped into a little conversation about this whole concept of how these people that these two brothers ran into through their various experiences or human experiences, as they dubbed the film, dealt with the happiness of the people that they were interacting with.
Right, which is really a paradox, because they went all over the world to interact with people who seemingly were suffering very deeply, yeah. And yet they found happiness. And for me, one of the central teachings of the Kabbalah, some people call it Kabbalah is the last accent is accented in Hebrew, mm-hmm. in the original.
Okay.
But one of the central concepts is, how is God revealed through our very human lives and our very human struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And within the Tree of Life, we can go back to how that came about, how the diagram came about, but within it are qualities said to be divine emanations that are complementary. And when we interact with these complementary qualities without pushing one away in favor of another because of preferences, we start to have access to a third state. And this third state may not always be called happiness, but it is a sense of greater connection, relationship, aliveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet if we were to interview those filmmakers, they came back feeling more alive, more in touch with something very essential, perhaps through their heart, but the human condition, you know, it touches our heart.
Yeah. He made a comment that, adventure to him, he would take adventure at a flat tire on the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
If that happened. What, you know, that's just how he looked at it.
So he was the type of guy that would accept life as it came to him as an adventure, which is an interesting
and
experiment.
And he is only 20 years old
in God
this documentary.
Bless him.
It's like, wow, what incredible insight already. I mean, I can only imagine what he'll be at 40 and 60 and 80 and so forth. I mean, it's just astounding.
And he's allowing his curiosity about the human experience of life to inform him
mm-hmm.
at such a young age. He's not shying away from the suffering of the world. He's curious about what that experience is.
And his brother seemed to be curious, maybe not quite as much, and it almost felt like he was sort of at times pulling his older brother along, but they were still there as a team. They were still there as partners and brothers, and it was just extraordinary to watch. And of course, he had lost his mother at a very early age to AIDS. So the trip to Africa and meeting with these people, he knew there was going to be some cathartic experience for him, and there was.
And
they
healing.
Showed that.
And healing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. The
Tree of Life. I know what it is. I've actually, as I shared with you, created a tactile version for my first wife. The Kabbalah, we know that Madonna studies it. I mean, this is what we've heard in the news. But I'm curious as to, from your perspective, what is the Kabbalah and what makes you, wrong word here, okay, correct me, expert in talking about it, obviously from your perspective.
Mm-hmm. First of all, Kabbalah literally means to receive. And what one is receiving is the wisdom of a tradition that is said to go back to the time of Abraham, who was probably an early expert, and has never been held as one teaching. So people ask, you know, can I have the book on Kabbalah? There's no one book. There's many, many texts that have even yet to be translated. But the teachings have been passed down orally through the ages and handed usually from teacher to disciple. And it was very contained. And in the olden days, you had to be male and over 40 and married and very involved in the Jewish tradition. It's Jewish mysticism. And lately, I mean, since the 1980s or so, when there's just been an explosion of spirituality and different spiritual practices, Kabbalah has been coming back more and more into the mainstream, and certainly now women are studying Kabbalah and there's female rabbis. So my experience with Kabbalah came out of earlier studies, learning how to work with the human energy system as a healer. And following a 4-year training, I started a 3-year training with a man that had been at my former school. And his name was Jason Shulman, and he devised a way to use the Tree of Life, and I'll define that in a minute, as a modality for healing. So I didn't approach Kabbalah intellectually at first. I approached it as something to be experienced. And that's a main difference, I think, between me and scholars. So I studied after I had experience with it. The Tree of Life itself is composed of 10 spheres or spherot. The word spherot comes from a root word in Hebrew that actually means counting or numbers. So hence 10. And the 10 spheres are in a pattern or a relational matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And they represent different qualities that are in our daily lives, as well as very much connected to the infinite divine realm. They have God. They're both God names and qualities that we are made of, that we experience in our daily life. So some people say it's like a ladder between heaven and earth.
Hmm. Well, I know that when I've looked at it at length, I mean, just gazed upon the Tree of Life itself. As a matter of fact, there's an image of it on the homepage of richarddugan.com. And one of the first things that came to me, and this is just a sidebar thing, and I noticed it, and I'm thinking, I'm wondering if Gene Roddenberry, creator of Star Trek, was involved or studied the Kabbalah or not. Because when you look at it, you can actually see from the bow view of the Starship Enterprise, the original series, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the Enterprise in the Tree of Life, the diagram.
Mm-hmm. It also looks like a crystal.
A crystal, right.
Or a geometric forms. It looks like a three-dimensional Jewish star in part.
I was just going to ask you about that, if that was also in there, because it would take much more pondering to find some of these things.
So, people have studied the tree mathematically, geometrically, magically,
mm-hmm.
Philosophically, symbolically, and also, my favorite, as a way to look at how the divine communicates with us and how we open our channels to actually have a felt sense of the divine in our lives.
I think that, and that's one of the things, as a matter of fact, I find it interesting. We live in this world, and we hear about how we need to find ways of coping.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are struggling, let's just say at work, with coworkers. They're doing fine for the most part as individuals. They're doing their jobs. They're loving what they do. They're intermingling with patients or clients or customers and their coworkers for the most part. But there's always one in the crowd that just wants to stir things up for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we've got to take time away from what our focus is, the love that we have for what we're doing, to deal with this mess over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shared with me the other day that one of the challenges that we as human beings have today is just that we are faced with challenges that we haven't been faced with before as humans, not just as individuals in this generation, but we're talking about in all of human history, humanity has never faced the kinds of challenges to their lives, their livelihoods, their well-being that we face today. And we don't know how to cope with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's kind of like containing something, and now it's trying to poke out here and poke out there, like, you know, out of a balloon or something like that.
In some form, humans have always faced these challenges. I think the context is different in that humans are quite overpopulating our planet, and there's some huge planetary issues, speaking of 2012, right now. And it seems like we're being asked to pay attention.
Yeah.
I know you've had Barbara Marx Hubbard on the show, and mm-hmm. I recently saw her speak in Santa Barbara, a beautiful visionary at 82.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things she was saying is she envisions a society where giving and receiving is the modality versus power over,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and a sense of one group having more and the other group having less, and
yeah.
and the struggle between the two.
Of course, you know, those people, there are a number of people who are opposed to that, and they give that a label that is really negatively charged.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it socialism.
Socialism.
Or communism.
Right. She's really interested in finding a working model, but the reason that I
yeah.
bring that up is that when I work in my healing practice with the Tree of Life, which, again, has a number of complementary qualities that can seem at times like they oppose one another.
Mm-hmm.
When I work with people, we come into relationship with the part that seems like it's the opposing part.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a revelation and a discovery when we don't push that part away from us. So going back to your example of a guy sitting in their office, a man or a woman sitting in their office, and they get triggered and have to deal with a problem over here, quote, that, quote, interrupts their work over here.
Right.
I wouldn't separate those two things. I think in the human experience, those things come up with great regularity, and there are teachers.
Yeah.
And if we have a sense of how to first monitor our internal reaction, which might mean soothing first,
yeah,
because we might be very upset,
right,
before we lash out and judge and proclaim the other bad and separate and different and not work, you know, I can't work with this person, push them away, I want them out of here.
Right.
If we first go inside and look at what is actually happening within us. What buttons were triggered.
Okay.
We can start to have great compassion because that other person out there is only a reflection of something that's already in here.
Yeah.
And that can start sounding like Buddhist or therapy, but it's also in Kabbalah.
Well, there's a change from them versus me to us.
Right. More inclusiveness,
yeah,
and more empathy when we see we have that inside,
yeah,
us.
And that's hard to do.
It's hard to do.
Because we have been taught and trained in the systems that are in place today in our society. It's them against us.
Right.
Or them against me.
Right.
I start a business and my focus is to provide the very best. And if I have to tear down them for me to be built up, I was in an interview not too long ago. We were talking about if there wasn't money, we'd piles of dirt. We used the concept of piles of dirt. So my job is not only to increase my pile of dirt, but to decrease theirs.
Right. And that perpetuates itself.
Yeah.
There's always somebody winning and somebody losing. And the Kabbalistic Tree of Life actually shows something different. When we light up one little area of the tree because we've come into more relationship with this, yeah, supposed opposing quality, a funny thing happens. The whole tree lights up.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is more light and energy comes into our system. We feel good. And that light and energy ripples out into the world on a subtle level and not so subtle level.
Now, we're looking for the new ways of living. We're looking for those ways that will work and that will work for everyone. I've used the analogy that we have a lifeboat, and this is not a lifeboat where we choose who gets to come on board. This lifeboat is large enough for every single human being to be on board. They have to choose to come on board. We need your input. We need your intellect. We need your compassion. We need the things that you can bring to the collective of humanity. But we're not going to force you to come on this lifeboat. Mm-hmm. If you want to live by the old paradigms, you're free to do so. No judgment here.
We're all on the lifeboat anyway.
Well, this is true, right? but in terms of using the analogy, not wanting to say them versus us,
right,
but they are we are they. Please join us. We want you here,
mm-hmm,
okay? But in order for you to join us, you are going to have to let go of the old paradigms, the old way, old belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, where we are today. The various systems that we see collapsing
They're failing us.
But there are people who are just beating their heads against a wall to do everything they can to keep them propped up, to keep them going.
Right. They have a large investment in,
yeah,
that.
Right. And it's extremely fascinating to watch these things unfold. It has also been said on some of the programs that those of us who are here and alive today are the heroes of humanity. We chose to be here,
mm-hmm,
in this time period,
mm-hmm,
not just to experience this, but to assist one another in getting through it.
In getting through it. And we need relationships with each other. We that need was, good communication.
And that's one of the keys that they talked about in that documentary was family. The relationship of family transcends any other relationship that's there.
Right. And most of our family systems are quite traumatized at this point in time.
Yeah.
Which has led me to study trauma. And one of the most interesting things I discovered in the training that I'm now in is that they use the oscillation between something that has a felt sense of healing and resonance in the body with touching into the edges of a felt sense of something that was very traumatic in the body. Yeah. So the Kabbalistic principles that I studied earlier are actually now right in my trauma healing classes.
And none of this is really new, though.
No.
I mean, you can go to in any direction of the ancient wisdom teachings, and all of this is being taught.
Right.
So I this is a rhetorical question. So how in the world did we get here with the systems that we have been on in especially in this country for the last 200 years or so that are now crumbling under our feet when these other systems that appear to work really well when we put our heart, mind, and soul into them would serve us so much better? It's interesting. We're going to continue talking about this, and I want to get more in depth into the Tree of Life and what leaves and branches there are on this tree.
Okay.
Danny Antman is my guest, and her website, it's dannyantman.com, correct?
Correct.
And you're the type of minister, once again?
I'm an interfaith minister.
Okay.
And I have a hands-on healing practice here in Santa Barbara, as well as a long-distance practice. I work with people all over the world.
You do what's called absentee healing, as I've heard
do,
it referred?
I do, and Skype healing, we call it now. I love Skype.
Okay, look, I've got Facebook, I've got Twitter. Skype, hold on, slow down. I can't go there yet.
I love it.
We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Today's Chari Center of Health quick tip is for heart health. What is high blood pressure? We need to understand how our body keeps blood flowing through it. Your heart carries blood from your heart to your entire body through a system of arteries, vessels, capillaries, and veins. When your heart beats and blood is pumped into the arteries, the blood actually pushes against the walls of the arteries. A blood pressure reading has two numbers written like a fraction, one number on top and one on the bottom. This reading measures the amount of force in two ways. The top number, or systolic blood pressure, is the pressure in the arteries when the heart muscle is pumping blood. And the bottom number, or diastolic pressure, is the pressure in the arteries when your heart is resting between heartbeats. How do you monitor your blood pressure? Buy a blood pressure monitor from the drugstore. Your blood pressure changes so often throughout the day, it's best to use more than one reading to figure out your average.
What do you need to do before measuring your blood pressure? Don't eat or use caffeine, alcohol, or tobacco products 30 minutes before measuring your blood pressure. Go to the bathroom and empty your bladder. Rest for 3 to 5 minutes and avoid talking. Sit in a comfortable position with your legs and ankles uncrossed and your back supported. And place your left arm raised to the level of your heart on a table or desk and sit still. What is the normal blood pressure as defined by the American Heart Association? Normal blood pressure for adults over 20 years old is a reading lower than 120/80. When your blood pressure rises above 120/80, you're at risk of developing high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a reading higher than 140/90, and low blood pressure is a reading below 90/60. So please monitor your blood pressure and be sure to discuss your readings with your doctor.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I often wonder why in the heck I come back into the program the way I do. Kind of weird, but that's me. Anyway, we're here to talk with our astronomical and astrological assignment editor. You know, Beth, I did like it the other way, but I understand why we've made the adjustment, which
is okay. We're being smart.
We're being smart. You're here to share with us and impart. I'm going to take a nap now, okay? Oh, that's right. Your theme is waking up.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now is the time when we wake up.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll play Reveille every 10 minutes until you wake up. So we have a vision, an idea, a concept. Danny has a vision for the future, as do I, as do many of our guests, as do you. And we need to wake up to that vision, or just wake up in general and not just go through the... And I'll tell you, case in point, I was coming down the 154, got to the 101 where it transitions, and a giant truck, pickup truck, decided that when I was 20 feet away, he decided to make a right turn to get onto the freeway in front of me.
Oh, Lord.
And, of course, I didn't have to slam the brakes on because I wasn't going that fast, but still, it was a hazard. Here's somebody, in my estimation, who is not awake. Asleep at the wheel in a euphemistic form.
Exactly. Well, and the other bit is it's way more important to focus on our stuff than someone else's, because we all have those moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, this time of year is when we're putting the finishing touches on whatever our goals and our priorities and our New Year's resolutions were that we created a couple of weeks ago at the New Year for 2012. You know, you can't get where you're going if you don't know where you're going. And it's so important to not only, like, sit down and write down at least one or two things, even if it's simply that my goal is to be at more peace this year.
Yeah.
You know?
To me, it's the difference between GPS and no GPS. I won't get in the car unless I know where I'm going.
Exactly. Exactly.
So let's talk about what's going on out in the universe in relation to...
This is a fantastic time. Mars has been retrograde in Virgo, which I am finding delightful. It enables you to be more focused with less effort. It enables you to, like, finish what you start or do something more completely and thoroughly, and that's always a plus, especially at this time of year when you're launching out into this new manifestation cycle and wanting to get better results than you did last year.
And it also leaves a tingly feeling in your fingers and toes.
Well, I think that's hyperventilating.
Is that what that is? Over the excitement and enthusiasm of the wonders?
Well, that can be. Yeah. That
Absolutely.
Can very well be.
So what do we have to look forward to over the next week to 10 days?
Well, February 7th, Saturn goes retrograde at 29 degrees Libra, and, you know, Saturn brings you your hopes and dreams and goals and desires. He is the Lord of Karma. And so you've got a lot of energy now supporting you in whatever it is you're trying to do. So just, you know, get clear, wake up to whatever your vision is, and use these opportunities, because these don't come along every day. You know, this is a window. This is an awesome, awesome, awesome window.
A great opportunity.
Yeah. Mercury goes retrograde in about 5 weeks, and so let's just use the time we've got, because things are going to slow way down. The momentum, the energy is going to slow way down soon. So,
but again, as we've always said about Mercury going retrograde, it is nothing more than an opportunity for self-reflection.
Exactly.
That's all it is,
folks. It's like going to meditation class for 3 weeks.
Isn't it kind of like what I said about December 21st, 2012? It is what you make it?
It is what you make it. Well, every moment is that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So don't wait till December 21st, 2012. Do it now. And what we'll do right now is let people know that they can get a hold of you at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com or call 963-0842. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard.
We will talk to you next week, which
should
be exciting, too. We'll be in the midst of the wonderful Conscious Life Expo down in Los Angeles.
Awesome.
All right. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
Tickets now on sale for the 2012 Conscious Life Expo, February 10th through the 13th at the LAX Hilton, bringing together an eclectic community of speakers, panelists, exhibitors, artists, and visionaries for a four-day gathering of collective consciousness featuring over 150 workshops, special events, including TV British psychic Lisa Williams and visionary scientist and author Greg Braden, as well as the film festival, live music, programa Latino, and three exhibit halls packed with healthy products and services. For ticket information, ConsciousLifeExpo.com.
And we're taking another pause in our program today to let you know about a special event that is going on the weekend of the, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 13th of February, and that is 2012. And one of our special guests who is going to be there on Sunday, the 12th of February, is Monique Guild. She'll be at the Conscious Life Expo. I am really excited about being there on Sunday. And Monique, I want to thank you for taking time to share with us about what you're going to impart to us on Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be the removing blocks to obstacles success workshop. I think I said that right.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Say it one more time.
Remove obstacles that are getting in the way of your success. I work with business people, and it's one of the things that I'm able to do is help people really start to identify what's blocking them from their career and businesses. So we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about some of the blocks that block people in their business and career lives, as well as identifying how their intuition is speaking to them, and hopefully helping some people move forward in their business and career lives. And one thing I will be doing, too, is helping a lot of audience members. As a business intuitive, I'm able to see things very quickly in people that's causing their business to get stuck. And if people are open to it, I will be working with audience members and helping them hopefully turn some things around and helping them become more aware of what's gotten them blocked in business.
And it doesn't matter how large or small the business is, you work with them to, again, help them to achieve the goals that they're looking to do. And I don't think you've run across anybody who's in business to fail.
No, right. No, yes. Most people who come to see me are either people who have no idea, that lost their way in business, or they've become very unhappy in business or their career, and or people who are extremely successful and want to make some sort of change or even grow their business even greater. Mm-hmm. And so I work with all types of businesses or products or projects and bringing them up to a whole nother level and helping them even become more successful. The workshop on Sunday, it starts at 10. It's going to be an hour and a half workshop, and really starting to help people identify what's blocking them, how they can move forward, how to begin to heal that, how their intuition's guiding them, what's their soul's agenda here, and helping them to hopefully connect in with all of that. So it should be a lot of fun. It's been a while since I've done something like this where I've had an open audience, and I've been traveling a lot and working with people around the world, and I'm so looking forward to having a live audience in front of me again and really connecting in with others and helping them move forward.
Well, we're always looking for those opportunities to do just that, move forward. I don't perceive anybody as wanting to fail in their business or do poorly. Although I know that because I worked for a station years ago, that based upon the information that we were able to not only glean, but some guys managed to find the actual paperwork to show, that this particular business was in business to take a loss as a tax write-off. So that's an interesting and unusual strategy, because they had other corporations and other businesses along the side. So they figure, well, if we have this one that's not doing so well, we can write it off on our taxes, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, there's something to gain there. And it's like, really, you go into business to do that? I find that unusual.
Right. Those are, you know, companies that are making lots and lots of money, and they need to figure out how to get their next, tax write-off and things like that. So, yeah, that's a little interesting. But more importantly, though, too, are people who are living lives and not following their dream or their passion or even having an inkling of it in their life, and they don't know why they're so unhappy or why they're causing chaos in their life or attracting and distracting relationships or doing things to undermine themselves, and to really become aware of the things that we do to not support ourselves. And the reason why we do that is because I think that we're not living a life that is an expansion as well as doing something that we love to do.
Yeah.
I think it's crucial that we connect in with our dreams and passions and live that as well as contribute to others. And
is it a given that if we do that, if let's say we're an entrepreneur, we have an idea, a concept, a thing we want to do, a service, that if we do pursue our heart's desire, that everything will just fall into place? How do you balance?
How do you
balance that between the realities of the way that business is run in this country today?
Well, those are two separate entities.
Okay.
If you want to put that aside for a second, how businesses are run today, well, I'm assuming you're talking about the big corporations and things like that, and then you're talking about somebody's life and somebody really following their dream, their passion,
okay,
going for what they want. I think it's really important that somewhere in someone's life that they're doing something that they're very passionate about. You just have to, or it's like, what's the point?
Exactly. And we're going to, and we'll hear more about this at the Conscious Life Expo, Sunday the 12th, with you, Monique Guild. And MoniqueGuild.com is your website. And people can find out more by going to the link that we have on our website, or just go straight to MoniqueGuild.com. And I want to thank you so much and look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Oh, thank you. I so look forward to seeing you, too.
Just look for the guy in the black hat.
Okay.
More of Tell Me Your Story coming up in just a moment.
Professional glassblower and craftsman Saul Alcaraz of Santa Barbara Art Glass can teach you to make that special gift for that special someone.
I guarantee that if you come in here, you will make paperweights, tumblers, or a mug, a bowl. You will get it done on your first lesson, even if you've never done it. Guarantee.
If I wanted to learn how to blow glass, what do I need to come to Saul with?
You gotta be extremely hyper, especially if you're gonna be doing it professional. You only have like 5 seconds to work with. If you wanna create art and sculpting and all that kind of stuff, then it's not a problem. You can take your time. Glass will not break.
Can people come by the shop unexpected?
I like it when they come in unexpected, and they'll probably bring some good energy in. Our studio, it's at 706 East Mason Street, 2 blocks from Miotas in Santa Barbara.
How do people get a hold of you?
Check out my website, sbrglass.com, or call us at 805-965-1541.
You have a message that others can benefit from, a meditation to share, a talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and DannyAntman.com is the website. Danny Antman is in studio with us today talking about the Tree of Life, the Kabbalah. Fascinating stuff. Danny, some of the stuff that I've studied over the years, especially about the Hebrew language, and there is a connection. There is a connection between the Hebrew language and the Kabbalah, not just because it's Hebrew, but because there are 22 elements within the Tree of Life, as there are letters in the alphabet.
Right.
And each one of those letters, as with each element in the Kabbalah, Tree of Life, has a legend to it. And as we were talking earlier, when you start putting those letters together, they create something so unique and so wonderful. Then you start putting it into sentences and paragraphs and in books. But then when we translate it out of that language, it's all gone. And it just seems to me like this is like a foundation piece that we need, whether it be Hebrew or even for some, with some of the interviews I've done with Swami Vidyadishananda. Yeah, easy for you to say, and Sanskrit.
Right.
So let's get into the Tree of Life and the elements therein.
Well, first of all, you know, in the New Testament, in the beginning was the Word. In the Old Testament, which the Jewish people call the five books of the Torah, which is written in Hebrew and begins with the letter Beit, it's said that every single letter in the five books of the Torah in Hebrew is an energy of creation. That the world was formed with these 22 forces, 22 energies, if you will. And in the Tree of Life, we have 10 spheres called spherot, which have different names, which we can go through in a minute. And those 10 spheres are in an array and joined by 22 paths. And these 22 paths are said to be paths of consciousness, paths of relationship, paths of giving and receiving of light and divine qualities. Mm-hmm. And if people look on your website later on and see the diagram I posted, which I drew, you'll see that the tree is overlaid on top of the body of a human being. So these paths are both the very forces, the paths, the 22 paths and the 10 spherot are the very forces that God used to create the universe, to create the world, to create time and space, directions, north, south, east, and west, and then also to create us. We are made of them, and they can be related to the human body. People often ask me if it's the same as the chakra system, and I say that it has a similar function, but it's a different system. And the main difference for me is that the Tree of Life spans four dimensions of consciousness. They're called the four worlds in Kabbalah. And they're also named on the diagram, Asiya, Yitzhara, Bria, Atzilut. And Asiya would be the world that most of us can relate to, our human existence. And the highest level, Atzilut, is the unknowable, the unnameable, the no-thingness. Mm-hmm. And it's said that there's a tree within each dimension. So there could be four trees, in a sense, stacked upon each other. That as we resolve the issues of our physical world, we then, maybe not in linear order, because I think this is happening holographically all at once, we're also resolving issues in our emotional world, like you were describing the guy at work. Mm-hmm. When we get to Bria, we're looking at the very patterns of existence, and that's when opposites have a chance to get closer together. And that produces both sparks in the sense of friction, mm-hmm. and it also produces more and more and more of a stretching in our being so that we can hold duality without shattering. We don't have to polarize anymore at the briotic level. And one of the basic ideas of working with the Tree of Life is that as we explore and probe its qualities, we come more into a state of equilibrium. So I think that the Kabbalists talk about running and returning, which I just love, that we run towards these unified states and then we return to our ordinary daily existence, which is really not separate from that. It just appears to be so.
Right.
And we integrate. So in a dualistic framework, it's a running and returning, a running and returning. But actually, I love paradoxically that Kabbalists talk about that process happening within the divine nothingness, within God. Mm. So it's always present, and then there's also this paradox that we're getting somewhere or we're doing something to balance something. At the same time, there's nothing to balance. Both are present.
Right. There's the dualism, but it's an illusion.
It's an illusion.
Yeah. It's along the lines of a spiritual being having a human experience versus a human being having a spiritual experience.
Right.
which is something of a paradox in and of itself that we actually address in an interview that's coming up in August. The different attributes, as a matter of fact, as you were describing the Tree of Life and its parts, I'm wondering if, in addition to the chakras, mm-hmm. if you were to overlay the meridians of the body, say mm-hmm. from Oriental medicine and mm-hmm. so forth,
I've heard
all of these different traditions, and if you overlaid them, how they would mesh up almost precisely.
Well, they're never precise, unfortunately. I know Taoism is similar. I have friends who practice Jinshin, which has a three-column system. The Tree of Life has three columns. I have been very familiar through my own practice with Kundalini science, which has three columns.
Yeah.
And yet every tradition has its own metaphor and its own symbolism and works within the human system slightly differently. And I personally don't need to make them all the same, and I delight in comparing them both at
sure.
the same time. So, you know, in the Tree of Life, if we interact with these qualities, they will reveal themselves to us just the way the mystics of old said they did. I was astonished at that when I started to explore them in my own self-healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been astonished that I can work with people who I've never met on Skype, who don't really know what I'm doing in my office far away from them.
Right.
And after a healing, a Tree of Life Kabbalistic healing, they will report back to me in languaging that reflects the pair of Sphirot that I've used as their healing. And they have no clue about the symbolism.
I was just going to say, they totally unaware
totally
they're
unaware.
Doing this and the connection.
Right.
Wow.
So it's an alive matrix of qualities that reveal themselves to you when you come into relationship with them.
And the only reason I use the example of overlaying all these different traditions, because the criticism has been of myself in the program is that, well, you always have the same people on talking about the same thing, and we're all God, we're all one, and we're all this, and we're all that. To which my response is, well, then don't you think maybe there's a point there? So if all of these different traditions overlaid over the Tree of Life, or the Tree of Life overlaid all mm-hmm. over these, and they matched up in some way, shape, or form in a fashion.
It's exciting.
There's something there, folks. There's a pattern.
Right.
It's legitimate. Because none of the... Now, on the one hand, I take the position that no system, no ism, no belief ever came out of a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity did not come out of a vacuum. Judaism did not come out of a vacuum. And whatever came before it and came before it and came before it and came before it, there is no vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, there is something to be found, a continuity.
Well, human beings are wired for the experience of the divine embodied, an embodied experience
yeah.
of the divine in their life. And whatever map we talk about, it's simply a map. It's not the experience itself. It's not, and the experience itself can be interpreted through different cultures, through different languages, through different metaphors, different pictures.
Yeah.
But we want to have the thing itself.
Yeah.
You know, so the map just simply points its way.
Let me ask you before we wrap up our program here, and I want to remind our listeners that if you want to get a hold of Danny Antman, you can do so. Go into your website for one.
Right.
And your phone number?
My phone number is 805-770-2294.
And there's somebody calling you now.
Right.
And we ask you to get in touch with her. We are linked to your website as well, so people can go there and get more information about you and the things that you teach. And we even talked about how important it is to learn these legends, like from the Hebrew, and that you are looking at having some kind of classes for young folks.
I would love to teach young people the principles behind the Tree of Life. Like you said to me earlier, that they are so important. How do we be in relationship with our life, with ourselves? And is this map useful?
Yeah.
And I have found it to be very useful. I particularly love working with young people, like from the 15 to 25-year-old age range. I've been thinking about starting here in Santa Barbara an Institute of Kabbalistic Studies. And
Student one.
I will need a place and, you know, a venue, and I have to give it some thought, but mm-hmm. I'm putting it out to the universe that I would really like to presence
I'll be in the front
here.
Row.
okay, so here we go. And particularly now, to work with young people, too.
Exactly. That's exciting. As the Swami said about Sanskrit, how they have been able to study and see the changes in the brain patterns as they're studying Sanskrit. So, I mean, this has to be along those same lines. This is something that is not normally ingested, if you will, into our being because it's not taught.
It's not taught, yeah. And as we study these, it's not intellectual study. The light that is transmitted from the study changes our brain function.
Let me ask you a couple of quick questions here because we're just about out of time. Who is Danny Antman?
Oh, goodness. Who is Danny Antman? I don't know.
Okay.
A compilation of all experiences and not that, right? Of course, you know. I've been a passionate Kabbalist. I'm an artist. And I'm also none of those things.
Okay. And what do you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing?
I would like to help people simply be more in relationship to their lives and to manifest their sense of delight on this planet with whatever they're supposed to be doing. And I feel the healing work helps take obstacles out of the way. So I help people get unstuck in very plain language.
Hmm. Well, I'm very excited about the fact that you've been with us today, and I look forward to having you back again in the near future. Are you working on any manuscripts, books, or anything of that nature at this point?
I have a tentative title for a book. It's called The Reluctant Jewish Yogi, and I've started writing about my experiences with Kabbalah as well as Kundalini Awakening and how one has informed the other.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program. And
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to let our listeners know that if you'd like to get in touch with Danny, you can go to her website, Danny Antman, DaniAntman.com. And your phone number, I'm sure, is listed there. Email is listed there, and as well as all the information about what's happening. And we encourage people to do that. We here on the program, we don't necessarily, you know, promote anyone specifically, but we are encouraging people to check out the information and see what you can glean from it.
I'd also be happy to answer any questions via email.
Absolutely. Please get in touch with Danny, and we encourage you to join us every Saturday here on the program. And I'm really intrigued. I'm going to have to contact a true dyed-in-the-wool Trekkie to find out if Roddenberry had the Tree of Life.
Did we mention that Dr. Spock was a Kabbalist?
Leonard Nimoy was
a Kabbalist.
Well, then there is an influence there.
Yeah.
There is an influence there.
A pretty serious one. He's been studying for years.
Interesting.
So.
Well, then it says to me that there obviously has been an influence through, even if it's just one of the actors. Very interesting stuff. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us on the program. I want you to remember that we are here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs on the radio shows page of richarddugan.com. And we also have a replay at a2zen.fm. That's a2zen.fm. So we encourage you to check that out as a replay. And of course, if you'd like to download it and disseminate it amongst your friends, you are certainly welcome to do so at this time, because we've had so much fun with all the different folks. Next week is going to be a lot of fun because we're going to revisit one of our guests, Erica Miner, and we're going to talk about the magic of the soothing sounds, music, soothing the savage beast, if you will, the Mozart effect, musical therapy. And this kind of ties into even, I would love to get a recording of the tones, the 22 tones of the Olifbet. That would be very interesting to have. Until next Saturday at this same time, I'm Richard Dugan for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Love to...
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.